When Yaakov Avinu met Esav, so they discussed with each other their financial situation. Each one was describing exactly what's been going on in the last few years. And Esav says to Yaakov, "Vayomer Esav, yesh li rov. I have a lot, I have plenty." Yaakov Avinu answers him, "Ki chanani elokim v'chi yesh li chol. I have everything." So the Kli Yoker points out, this is in Perek Lamed Gimel and Pasuk Tes, on that pasuk where Esav says yesh li rov, the Kli Yoker says that this is the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. A rasha, even if he has a lot, like Esav or rasha, he had so much. No matter what he has, he says, "I have a lot," but it's mashma that he's still missing something. Nir lahem shadayin hem chaserim. I have a lot, he says. He would never say, "I have everything. I have enough." He says, "I have a lot." Yaakov Avinu is the opposite. Tzaddikim behepach zeh. Even if they have a little bit, they're smeichim b'chalkum, they're happy with what they have. But Tzadik says, yesh li kol, I have everything. Because if I could have any more, so Hashem would have given me any more. So Tzadik is always smeich b'chalkum, he says, yesh li kol. This is what we see from Yaakov Avinu's nusach. And Esav, even if he had more riches, he would say, yesh li rav, I have a lot. But he would never say that nusach, that I have enough, or I have everything. And the truth is that the Ramban mentions this, b'gabei Avram Avinu, at the end of Parashas Chayisara, the pasuk says in Perachof Hei pasuk Ches that Vayomas Avram, Avram was nifter b'seva toiva, he was very old, a ripe old age. Zokein v'saveya, he was old and saveya. Saveya means he was full. V'achalta v'savata, he was full. So what does that mean? Avram died full. He died after a good meal. What is zokein v'saveya? So the Ramban says that Avram was ro'a kol mish'alos libo. He saw all his desires, everything that he wanted, came to fruition. And this is the midah of tzaddikim, says the Ramban. That a person is happy with what he has, anything that he wants, he gets. Why? Not because he gets more, but because he wants less. He doesn't need whatever Hashem decides to give him, that's wonderful. But the idea of zokin v'saveya, someone that's full, says the Ramban over there on that pasuk, that's not possible by Rishon. Adar Abba. He doesn't even say Rishon, he says b'shar anoshim. Even a benani, a regular person, pasuk says in Koheles, he brings Oyev kesef lo yispa kesef. A person who loves money, lo yispa, he'll never be saveya, he'll never be full of kesef. If he has money, he wants masayim. Whatever he has, he wants more. That's the midah of a rasha, and that's the midah of a pashat person, that's the tab of a person. Whatever he has, he wants more. Only by Avram Avinu could it say that he died zokin v'saveya, that he was full. The Medrash says in Koyelos on that pasuk, ein adam yoytzi min ha'olam, a person does not leave this world, with half of what he wants. A person on his deathbed wishes that he had more than double of what he has. That's what it says in the Medrash. Not only talking about a rasha, talking about a pashta, the person. But a tzaddik is lehepach. A tzaddik can say, yesh li koil, I have everything. Yisameach b'chelkoi. A tzaddik can pass away zokein v'saveya, because he understands that this is the full amount that he was given and he doesn't need any more. And as we said from the Ramban, it's not just something that a rasha says, and he says, yesh li rov, but I need more. But shara anoshim, that's the pashat amensh, does that also. Only a person on a very high madrega can realize, yesh li kol, that I have everything that I'm supposed to have. And what's the secret behind it? How could a person come to that madrega of yesh li kol, of feeling like he has everything, and feeling happy and content, and not feeling like he's missing everything that he wants? So it really depends how a person looks at what he has. Person has certain amount of money, person has hatzlacha in different areas, a person has talents. So how does one look at what he has? Most people fall into the trap of looking at what they have as koichi v'oitzem yodi asali asachay al hazeh. Why do I have it? Because I worked hard. I have more money because I have a good job. If people think that it's all because of them, the key for a person to be sameach b'chalkoi is emunah. What is emunah? Emunah is belief in Hashem that everything comes from Hashem. Everything that I have is mishamayim. Hashem decided to give it to me, and Hashem didn't decide to give me any more. So of course I'll be sameach b'chelkoi. If I think it's telling on me, if I would have stayed up a little later, if I would have done one deal, if the guy would have called me instead of him, then I would have had more. But a tzaddik realizes that everything is mishamayim. Your parnasa is katsu from Rosh Hashanah, and everything is exactly it's going to be. All I have to do is do my ishtadlus. Fine, so I'll find out from Das Torah what my ishtadlus is supposed to be, and that's it. Whatever I have, I have. Whatever I don't have, I'm not supposed to have. So the idea when a person is trying to get happiness and contentment in life with what he has and not feel like he's always missing, it's always greener on the other side, the root of that is his emunah. If he realizes that everything that he has is mishamayim, then he could say yesh li kol. And the truth is, that's what it says by Yaakov Avinu. Esav says yesh li rav, and Yaakov says yesh li kol. But there's a few words before Yaakov saying yesh li kol. He says, ki chanani elokim v'chi yesh li kol. Hashem graciously gave me v'chi yesh li kol, and I have everything. Once a person understands that it's from Hashem, yeah, Esav didn't say ki chanani elokim. He didn't say Hashem gave me. He said yesh li rav. Yaakov says, ki chanani elokim v'chi yesh li kol. The secret of that feeling, of that hergish, of yesh li kol, is the first part of the pasuk, ki chanani elokim. When he realized that everything comes from Hashem, then you could say yesh li kol. When Yaakov asked Yaakov, who are all these children? He said, Hayiladim asher chanan elokim esavdecha. Hashem graciously gave me 12 children, and Dina. So that was Yaakov Avinu's understanding. Everything that he has was chanan elokim, Hashem graciously gave me. Once a person lives like that, that Hashem is graciously giving him everything, so then he could say yesh li kol. It could be, I'm shtickle about Kairi, Rabbi Bernstein would have appreciation of this diuk. If you look at the pasuk there, when Yosef says yesh li rav, and Yaakov Avinu says yesh li kol, there's a difference in the trap. By yesh li rav, that Esav says, there's a munach under the word li. The Baal Kairi stresses the word li, yesh li rav. By Yaakov Avinu, when he says v'chi yesh li kol, there's no munach under the word li. There's no stress at all under the word li. The stress is under v'chi. V'chi yesh li kol. Sometimes the Vilna Gaon says pshatim, like, you know, based on the trap. So maybe we could suggest idea and trap over here. When Esav said yesh li rav, there was a stress under the li. This is mine. I worked for it. I have a lot. I could work harder. I could get more. Yaakov Avinu b'chlal wasn't stressing the li. Ki chanani elokim v'chi yesh li kol. The li was like swallowed up right there. It's all three words together. V'chi yesh li kol. It has nothing to do with me. This is what chanani elokim Hashem gave me. So I can't get any more. This could be a possibility, a diuk in the trap. But the idea is zikha there. Ki chanani elokim, that Hashem gave it to me. V'chi yesh li kol. Therefore, I feel like I have everything. I've been many times in taxis in Eretz Yisrael. The taxi driver seems like such a Yerush Shemayim. You ask him, how are things doing? How's the business? Hakol mishamayim, apanasa mishamayim, everything is wonderful mishamayim. Till the end of the trip, when he starts fighting with you over that one shekel, and he's killing, your shekel is one quarter. And what do you mean? It's because then there was a red light, and if it was a red light, I could have gone to... What happened to panasa mishamayim? He dashed in panasa mishamayim, everything is wonderful, it's on his lips. But he's not living with it. Person's not living with it, so parnasa min hashamayim, parnasa min hashamayim, until it gets to the issue of parnasa. Then already it's not min hashamayim. But in the drushes, it's all parnasa min hashamayim. What Chavakuk says is, tzadik be'emunosa yichya. Not just that he has to believe in it, but he has to live with it. A person has to live with it. It's not easy. It's a tzadik haka. Tzadik be'emunosa yichya. A person has to think parnasa min hashamayim, and he has to live with it. If you live with parnasa min hashamayim, so you don't fight over the shekel then. If there was a red light, if there was traffic, everything is min hashamayim. You decided to go this way, that way. Everything is min hashamayim. I grew up in a house where a person is forced to understand parnasa min hashamayim. My father's a moel. He never knows his parnasa more than 8 days in advance. See, if you ask, like, he doesn't have any meetings, any business meetings set for more than 8 days in advance. I'm all these days, someone will call and say, we're giving birth to cesarean on May 30th, and we're going to have a birth. My father can always schedule 6 months in advance. Sometimes they want it on a Sunday afternoon. You know? Okay. That can happen. But in most cases, my father doesn't know his parnasa 8 days in advance. People could have girls this week and not boys. That's it, no parnasa. People could decide to call another mom. You grow up with that hakara. It's like living with the man. I mean, as much as you can have these days. The man falls one day, you don't know. You don't save till the next day. That person sees that hakara, and the truth is it's like that in every parnasa. But sometimes it's harder to see it. Because if a person is working with his own deals, and so he feels like, I arranged it, I convinced someone, I sold this something. So you think that it's not min hashamayim. But that lesson we have to learn from the man, that everything that Hashem gives us is min hashamayim. And when a person understands that, and not just understands it, but also lives with it, then that brings the biggest happiness in life. Because he feels yesh li kol, he's full. He's satisfied because he has everything that he could have. Because if he could have had more, Hashem would give him more. So Hashem gives a person has to work on themselves to try to live with that, with the tzadik be'munosa yichya, to understand that everything comes min hashamayim. I had the opportunity on the zchus to be last night at the Agudah convention here in Connecticut, finally in America for the time of the Agudah convention, so I decided to go. And I had the zchus to hear the Novominsker Rebbe speak last night, Rav Yaakov Perl Ashlita. And Kedarka, he spoke like a manik. He said many different things that Chai Yisrael has to do and what we should try to improve. But one thing that he said, which I found very interesting, was that we find ourselves in a country that announces on their money, "In God we trust." Every nickel and every dollar says in it, "In God we trust." It's a country that's based on emuna. It says it, "Bahachraza gedoyla," "In God we trust." He says, "I don't understand one thing. How come after 9/11, such a crazy maisa, not one public figure got up and said, 'Etzba Elokimi, this is an act of God.' Everything is bin Laden, and everything is, we spend billions trying to figure out the intelligence where we went wrong, how we can make sure it never happened again. Fine. But no one got up and said, 'The Twin Towers fell down, this is an act of God. We're doing something wrong.'" He said, no moral behavior changed in America since 9/11. No one said, you know, the Rabbanish, in God we trust, he's angry at us, let's change a little bit our behavior. He says, because in God we trust is good for the dollar bill, it's good for the for the nickel. But that's not something that we live with. That's not the tzaddik b'munasa yichya. That's not what's going on in the gas in America. He said, by the Yidden, adarabba, our first animamin, our first principle of faith, animamin b'munah shalema, sha'boire yisbarach shemoi, hu boire umanig, Hashem created everything and runs the world, hu asav oise v'yaseh l'cholam asim, Hashem made everything, makes everything, and will make everything. There's no such thing as anything in the world except an act of God. It doesn't mean that we have to notice in each thing, the Twin Towers falling, how could people have done that behind our back? It must be an act of God. There's no such thing. It's not that in God we trust and that's written on our money and then we don't live like that. Adarav, every single thing that happens is from Hashem. Hashem Ashluchim, sometimes it's bin Laden and his chavra, whoever it is, but everything that happens, sometimes a person gets embarrassed in a certain situation, everything is min Hashemayim, everything comes to a person mishamayim. And when a person realizes that everything is an act of Hashem, and everything that he has and he doesn't have is all from Hashem, that is the secret of his happiness. I want to share with you something that I'm still shaking about. I had probably the scariest experience that I ever had in my life about 8 hours ago at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was sleeping. I went to sleep a little bit late last night after coming home from the Aguda convention, and had other things to do. And I went to sleep about 2 o'clock, 2:30. At 3:30, I wake up to a crashing break of the window. I thought maybe it was a dream. I stayed in my bed, and I listened a little longer, and then I heard another smash. And it was from downstairs. It was obvious to me. My two portable phones are downstairs. I was not about to go downstairs. The one phone that we have upstairs is an old rotary phone that the people who left before us couldn't detach because it's like plugged in. I tiptoed into the next room where that was, and I had to dial 911. And 911 never took so long. You go 911, and so the lady picked up. I said, "There's someone breaking into my house with a crowbar. I don't know if they're breaking the window or the door, but please send the police fast. Where do you live?" I told them my address. "What's your name?" "Name." I said, "Are you sending them?" "Yeah." "Fine." I'm waiting. She said, "Stay on the phone with me." I said, "Okay." So I stay on the phone. By that time, my wife was up and scared. The kids, Baruch Hashem, were sleeping. So she says to me, "Okay, I think the police are outside." I said, "Just one second." I couldn't bring the phone anywhere. I gave the phone to my wife. I went to the window. Sure enough, a police car without lights is sitting there right outside my house. She said, "Okay, so go down and open the door for the policeman." I said, "I'm not going downstairs. If that guy's breaking windows, he could break my head also." So she said, "No." The police looked around. They said that you could come down to open that. I said, "Yeah, the police are outside, but I'm inside the house. I can't go down." So she said, "No, the police said you go down and open the door." I said, "Okay, that's what I have to do. I have to go down and open the door. I don't know who's downstairs. I don't know which window is breaking." The one thing I did, I screamed on the top of my lungs. I'm surprised all my kids didn't wake up. I went running down the steps. I said, "Ein oid milvado." This is the thing. And there's Nefesh HaChaim, a famous Nefesh HaChaim. If a person internalizes Ein oid milvado, there's nothing that can happen bad to him. Meisim with this, won't get into it. We spoke about it a little in the Tfilavat. Ein oid milvado is the way a person could protect himself from any harm. And I'm running down the stairs, screaming at the top of my lungs, "Ein oid milvado, Ein oid milvado." It'll scare away anyone. I went downstairs. I didn't see anyone. I opened the door. There's two policemen. They didn't ask me what Einoid Mavadi, but they definitely heard it, that's for sure. I opened up the door. They said, "Can we come inside?" I said, "Please do." So we went around. The front door is totally intact. All the front windows are totally intact. They said, "You sure you heard windows breaking?" I said, "Yes, this is not a dream. I heard it three times." So So I said, do you mind coming, going around the house with me into every room? Maybe it's the back door, maybe it's the kitchen. He said, no problem, big flashlights. So we went to the kitchen, everything's perfect. Went around to the office, everything's perfect. So they said, you know, we saw your garbage cans outside blowing around. Maybe they were banging into each other and all that. And my wife starts laughing at me. I've heard of garbage cans blowing around in the past. There's a smashing glass. There's something. Let's just continue looking. We went into the dining room. On the floor of the dining room is full of glass. My break front, which has glass doors, totally collapsed. Just broke. The glass doors just splattered. I said, is it possible someone shot into the house? And I broke this. He said, no, because all the windows and doors are totally closed and perfect. So I said, yeah, that's true. So what could this be? He said, it sometimes happens, like glass just like collapses. I said, is it because it's like freezing cold in Connecticut? I mean, it's never happened to me anywhere else. So he said, no, it's not so cold in here. I said, I know, I'm shivering, but okay. So he said, no, it sometimes happens, glass sometimes doesn't. I was thinking to myself, you know, it's not too difficult to realize that this is an act of God. A break front, a glass collapsing, it's smashing. Of course, it happened three times, because after part of it broke, and the rest of it was loose, and then 2 minutes later it happened again. Meanwhile, I'm picturing this guy breaking in three windows or whatever it is. But I said, okay, Baruch Hashem, I wasn't so embarrassed. At least there was a pack of glass on the floor. It wasn't the garbage can. But I was so nervous from hearing that in the middle of the night. I have no idea what to do. One thing's for sure. They're going to explain it, that it happens sometimes to glass. We're going to call the people we got it from and tell them they gave us a faulty break front. You have to get our money back. Everything is true. But it doesn't take a grace of chacham to figure out that this is etzba elokim and Hashem is trying to send a message. And I spent most of the night laying in bed afterwards trying to figure out if I'm a believer in God we trust. Yifashvish b'maisa. Haven't come out with any maskanas. We have a few options. But I admit Hashem hoped to speak to someone, figure out why such a thing would happen. But every maisa that happens, the person doesn't look at it as a glass just collapsing at 3 o'clock in the morning and smashing as if someone's touching it. There are maisa that happen that are not obviously an act of God. And a person has to realize that just as some of them are so obvious, there's no explanation that I can understand at this point. I don't care whoever explains to me how it could happen, but why didn't it happen in the last 3 months? I don't know. But that's definitely a maisa, and that's be'alikim. And I'm still shaking from it, mamish. But L'maisa Baruch Hashem, I think it has a happy ending, but happier than I expected in the beginning. But anything that happens is a maisa elokim. And even if it's not easy for us to see, because our own hishtaglus is involved in it, but a person has to realize that his key to his happiness and his key to contentment and being satisfied in life, to ever reach the madrega of zakin v'saveya, to ever reach the feeling of yesh liko, is to realize that in God we trust is not just for our money. That's tzadik b'munasa yichya. A person has to live with that hakara. The truth is that this idea that a person realizes that everything is a ma'aseh elokim and everything is katzuv, everything is an act of Hashem, that is the key for a person to become a baal chesed. Baal chesed, a person gives from himself to other people, gives from his money, gives from his time, gives from his talents. It's one of the things the world stands on. Shleisha dvarim ha'olam oimed, Tayra avoida, and gemilas chasadim. Gemilas chasadim is one of the pillars of the world. So how does it come to be that a person is a baal chesed and another person who might be a good person, but he's not a baal chesed, he doesn't give of him, he's stingy, he doesn't care for himself. If you think about it, the shayrish of a person who's a baal chesed is his emunah. What does that mean? If a person thinks, he always thinks that everything that he has is his own. So I'm going to give from my hard-earned money to this maesed. I'm going to give, let him get a job. Whoever a person feels like it's mine. It's much harder to part with something when you feel so connected to it. If a person realizes be'emunah, everything that I have is katsu from Rosh Hashanah. Everything that I have is because Hashem gave it to me, ki chanani elikim v'chiyesh likal. So if now a mitzvah calls out that I have to give from my time, I have to give from my koiches, I have to give from my money, whatever it is, to somebody, so a person will be a baal chesed, because he's able to part with something. He realizes that he is not the boss, Hashem is the boss, and Hashem gave it to him. He is a pawn in the hands of Hashem, and Hashem deposited this money by you, or this talent by you, and you have to use it, l'kad Hashem shemayim. When a person realizes that is his emunah, his tzadik emunah sayichya, then he's able to become a baal chesed. The truth is, the Gemara really says this in Baba Basra, on Daf Yud, the famous Gemara that Turnus Rupus Harasha asked Rabbi Akiva, Im elikechem oyev aniyim hu. If you say that your Hashem loves aniyim, mipnei ma einem afanasam. Why doesn't he support them? You say that Hashem loves aniyim, you're supposed to give tzedakah to aniyim. So why, Hashem could do everything, right? So why doesn't Hashem give panasa to aniyim? Amar Leir, Rabbi Akiva answered him, this is the answer to a Yisoid to stick a shayla in life. Why are some people rich, some people poor? Rabbi Akiva answered, Kedesha nitzal anu bahen midina shagayinam. Hashem made these people poor. Kedesha nitzal anu bahem. We should be saved through them. Midina shel gehinam. From our gehinam. Because now we have an opportunity to do chesed with them and to give tzedakah to them. So if you think about it, what's Rabbi Akiva saying? The reason that the ani is poor is not because of himself. It's because of us. Hashem wants us. Hashem wants to test us and see if we're going to do the right things with our money that we have, with our funds, with our koichas, with our talents that we have, that we can help someone else. So Hashem says, I'm going to make people in this world who are chaser, who are avyoinim, who don't have it, and let's see if you're going to come through. Let's see if you're going to give it to them. So that's mamish the idea. A person's chesed is totally on his emunah. If he realizes that the ani is there for him, so of course he'll give money to the ani. That's the whole test. Hashem is only giving you money because he wants to see if you're going to do the right thing and give it to the ani, and give it to the right place, and give everything that a person can to help another cause. That's something that takes a lot of work. For a person to believe in Hashem, that first of all is helping himself become happy, v'chi yesh li koil, realize that he's happy, and then also he'll be able to help other people because it's easier to part the things that Hashem gave you if you realize that they're not from yourself, they're from Hashem. The teva of a person is to be focused on himself. This is something that's not a rishus, it's a pashut ha-metzias, it's a teva, a nature that a person has. My wife once tried an experiment in the seminary. And she taught in seminary. And she said, everyone take out a pen and paper and write a paragraph, a small paragraph, a few sentences about yesterday. Write a paragraph about yesterday. Okay, everyone think about yesterday. Everybody writes. I went here, I went to the store, this happened to me. And then after 2 minutes, everyone puts their pen and paper down, wrote one paragraph. So my wife says, okay, now everyone circle every time it says in the paragraph the word I or me. And everyone circles every sentence. I went here, I did this and that. My wife said, I didn't say to write about you. I said to write about yesterday. Yesterday was a big day. We have a big world here. And you're supposed to write about yesterday. And every single person wrote about themselves. I went to the store. I got up early. I went to sleep. I was upset. I was happy. Everyone's writing about themselves. What's the pshat in this? She was trying to bring out, and this is something that's an amazing thing, b'derech hateva. A person is focused on himself. It's not a rishus. It's a normal thing. That's what we're born with. A person is focused on himself. When I think what happened yesterday, I think what happened in Avram Krohn's eyes yesterday. I saw this, I went here. I don't care what happened in your eyes. That's your yesterday, but this is my yesterday. But the question was to write about yesterday. It wasn't to write about yourself. The teva of a person is that a person is focused on himself. Yesterday to me was how I experienced yesterday. And a person has to work his whole life, and some people are never matzliach, even when they're old. A person has to work their whole life to break that teva. That is the teva. And again, it's not something that's a taina on us, that we're born with that. But it is a taina on us if we don't try to break that. We have to lose the focus on ourselves and realize that we are not the boss. We are not what it's all about. Hashem is the boss. Hashem created us for a purpose. We have to fulfill that purpose. If a person realizes that everything is from Hashem and it's not from himself, so then he himself is happy. If he realizes that everything he has is from Hashem, then he'll try to do the right things with his money. He'll spend money on hiddur mitzvah. He'll spend money on tzedakah and chesed. That's something that a person has to live with. It's very interesting. Who was the first person who called Hashem a boss? Hashem, Adam Arishan knew Hashem, Noach. But the Gemara in Brachas, Tav Zayin Amid Beis, says that Avram Avinu was the first one to call Hashem Adoin. Adoin means the master. Hashem is the boss. Avram Avinu, the Gemara says, in Tav Zayin Amid Beis in Brachas, Miyoyim Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa Oilam. From the day that Hashem created the world, Loi haya Adam shekroi la Kadosh Baruch Hu Adam. Nobody called Hashem the master. No one exclaimed that Hashem is the boss. Ad sheba Avram Avinu ukroi Adam. Till Avram said, the Gemara brings Pesukim, that Avram used the word Adam to describe Hashem. And when we say every day Baruch Ata Hashem, we say Hashem. The word Hashem means Adam kol. That's the pashat hakavana that a person is supposed to have when you say the word Hashem a million times a day. Hashem is the master of everything. He's the boss. He's my boss. He's everybody's boss. That's the kavana of the name Adai Shem, which is from the lashon of Adnus, that Hashem is the master. And the first person to proclaim that was Avram Avinu. I think according to what we're saying, it's not a coincidence that Avram Avinu was the Amur HaChesed. Avram Avinu was the one who represented Chesed, Titein Emes LeYaakov, Chesed LaAvram. How is it that Avram Avinu was able to spend every last koyach that he had doing Hachnas Asarchem and other Chesed and Kiruv and everything that Avram Avinu did? It was because he was the first one to recognize that Hashem is the Adam. Like we just said, if a person doesn't think that Hashem is the Adon, everything that he does is from himself, so how could he be such a Baal Chesed? He can't be such a martyr to give everything that he worked so hard for to give it to other people. But Avraham Avinu, Shehikir is Boirei, he's the one, the first one, who realized that Hashem is the boss and everything is from Hashem. He is the one who could represent the Midah of Chesed to its fullest, because everything that he has, he realizes, is just the Shlichus of Hashem. The money that he had was to help the honey or the Arabs who were going in the street to give Achnas HaSarchem, and he would give them a lavish meal with everything, because all the money that he had was from the Adon, and he had to do everything L'Shem Shamayim. The truth is, it's an amazing thing. Avraham Avinu said to the king of Sodom in Parashas Lech Lecha, Im michut v'atzreich na'al v'im akach mikol ha'shelach. I'm not going to take anything, not a string, not a shoe strap, I'm not going to take anything. Why not? So you shouldn't say, Ani ha'sharti yas Avram. You shouldn't say, I made Avram rich. What was Avram Avinu in essence saying? I understand that Hashem is the Adon. We just said Avram Avinu was the first one who recognized. Hashem is the Adon. You are nothing. You are Melech Sodom. If you're going to give me anything, you're going to say, Ani ha'sharti yas Avram. I know the truth is that everyone is just a shliach, and I'm going to get my riches in a way that it will be very clear that Hashem was Hashir as Avram and not anybody else. That was the idea Avram was trying to say with this pasuk, right? Im michut v'atzreich na'al, I'm not going to take anything from anyone else to make it clear that everything is from Hashem. So what does it say in the Medrash on that pasuk? That Avram Avinu, when he says, chut v'atzreich na'al, his children, the Yidden, were zeicha to two mitzvahs. Because he said chut v'atzreich na'al. The Gemara says in Saita, one cheshbon, two mitzvahs. The Medrash over there says something else. And what does it say by tzreich na'al? The shoelace represents the shoes. Says the Yidden were zoicha because of Avram Avinu to the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. The mitzvah that we have three times a year to be Oyle L'Regel, to take our Srech Na'al, to take our shoes and our shoelaces and walk. As the Gemara says in Chagiga Daf Gimel, that there's a pasuk that says, Ma'yofu pa'amayich pa'na'olim, that how pretty, how beautiful are your footsteps, pa'na'olim with your shoes. And the Gemara Chagiga says that's talking about the Yidden when they're Oyle L'Regel. So the Yidden are L'Regel with their shoes. It's a mitzvah you do with your shoes. You're walking a long way to get to Aliyah L'Regel. Where do we get the schus to do that mitzvah? That's from Avraham Avinu, who said that he's not going to take a srech now. So we use our shoes and our shoelaces in order to do the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. What's that idea, the yisoid of the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel? The yisoid of the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel is when there's times, three times a year, when a person can fall into the danger of thinking, Karchi v'aitzim yadi, Chag Aviv, Katsir, Chag Asif, a person is planting, a person is harvesting, he's gathering in, feels like he's accomplishing, he's doing something, he's planting, he's becoming rich, he's harvesting, he's taking it in. Hashem says, listen, I gave you this parnasa, leave everything now, leave your land, come to Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean leave the land? I just worked so hard, I gathered all these riches in. Leave everything, no one's going to touch it, come to Eretz Yisrael and realize that Hashem is the boss. This is the mitzvah that we have in the schus of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the one who was makir that Hashem is the Adon. Avraham Avinu was makir that everything is Hashem's. So when Avraham's children, the Bnei Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, when they're sitting on their lands and they're going to fall into the danger of thinking that everything is from themselves and Hashem is not the Adon, a person could think maybe I'm the Adon. Then Hashem says, take that im michut v'atzreich now that Avraham Avinu said he's not going to take the srech now from the king of Sodom. Take that shoelace and go do a mitzvah with that. Leave your place and go to Eretz Yisrael so you can internalize this idea that Hashem is the Adon. And everything that you did throughout the year is just with the help of Hashem, but a person is not the boss and he's not the one who controls his panasa. Hashem is the Adon. Leave the land, and that's why it's in the schus of Avraham Avinu, who came to this hakara that Hashem is the Adon, and that's what he lived by. That's where we get the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Now, hold on to your seats for this one. When I thought of this, I went crazy. It says in the Torah only two times, when it talks about Hashem, it says in the Torah only two times, Ha'odoin Hashem, the Master Hashem. Where are these two times? I have a few Bali Kriya here. In Parashas Mishpatim, and Parashas Kisisa. Both of them by the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Shalish Pamim Bashana, Yeroas Kol Chucha, Apneya Odoin Hashem. Only two times it says in the whole Torah that Hashem is the Master. This is every time we say Hashem's name, we think Adon Kol. Only two times Hashem is called the Master. It's by the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. According to this, it's Mamish Haflo Vafela. The mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel is that we should realize Hashem is the Adon. This is what we have, Yerusha from Avraham Avinu, who was the first one to call Hashem Adon. And because he said, Im michut v'atzreich na'al, his children were zeicha to the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Don't think that you're the Adon, Hashem is the Adon. Shalish Pamim Vashana, go up to Eretz Yisrael, El Penei Ha'Adon Hashem. Hashem is the Adon, get that clear. 3 times a year. We have to have it clear a whole year, but 3 times a year when a person is in the danger of thinking that all is parnasa, everything is from himself, Hashem says in the Zchus of Avram Avinu, who called Hashem the Adon, we have to go now and make sure we're mechazik ourselves and realize that Hashem is the Adon. This is the Avram Avinu who realized that Hashem is the Adon. He called Hashem with the name of Adon. This is the Avram Avinu who was the Amur HaChesed, because once he realized that everything was from Hashem, it was easier to part with his money and with his food and everything that he had in order to do mitzvahs. And this was the Avram Avinu who eventually, when he died, was Zochein Visaveya. He was full, like the Ramban says, because he realized that everything came from Hashem and he wasn't missing anything, because anything he didn't have, it wasn't Vashkocha Pratis that he was supposed to have. This is Vashem Beirach Es Avram Bakoil, that Hashem blessed Avram with everything. Everything because he was happy with what he had. He wasn't missing anything. The same thing that his grandson Yaakov Avinu said, V'chayeshli koil, I have everything. That was the bracha, Hashem Berech HaSavram Bakol. It doesn't mean that he had any more than Esav, and he had any more than any of his cousins. But Hashem Berech HaSavram Bakol was the same midah of V'chanani Elikim, V'chayeshli koil. Everything that I have is from the Rebbeinu Shlom, and therefore I feel like I have anything. Everything. This is something that I think we could take, possibly a chizuk, from this parasha, where we see the difference between Yaakov and Esav. A person has to be misragel to see the Yad Hashem. A person has to train himself to see the Yad Hashem. There's so many things. If your glass shatters in the middle of the night, you say, yes, this is the Yad Hashem. That's obvious. But things that go on every single day, Hashkocha Protis, you went to a certain store and it was supposed to be closed and it turned out it was open. Different things that happen, a person could see it if they train themselves every single day, many, many times. This is something that we have to train ourselves to be. Tzadik Be'Munasa Yichya. I have an uncle in Lakewood, Kalman Krohn, my father's brother, I've quoted him in the past. He wanted to train his children to see Hashem in their everyday life. And how do you tell your kids, see Hashem in everyday life? How do you tell a young kid to do that? So the way he did it was, that at supper, if a kid would tell a Hashkocha Prata story that happened to him that day, he would get a pickle. A pickle in that house was a very hush of a commodity, like that. And the only way you can get a pickle at supper, you get your own whole pickle, not cut, bichlal, if you tell a Hashkocha Prata story. And I'm telling you, it trained the kids to think of the wildest Hashkocha Prata story. And my uncle was the judge, if it was a good one. This little Moshe said he went down the steps and Baruch Hashem, he didn't fall down the steps. You know, that's not good enough. You have to have something that, but they saw the Yad Hashem in that also. For a pickle, you see the Yad Hashem in everything. But it trained the mind to think everything as they walked outside. They're focused the whole day. Where's the Yad Hashem? I crossed the street now. I didn't cross the street before. I waited for a bus. I did this. Everything that's going on, a person sees the Yad Hashem. It comes from a training. And I think all of us have to try to get our own incentive to think of Hashkocha Prata's story. So one thing I want to propose, maybe as an added incentive, we proposed something a little similar this past week. I'm not going to give a $50 Hashkocha Pratis campaign, but anyone in the next week who comes over to tell me a Maisa Hashkocha Pratis that happened that day with that person will get a dollar. I have a sponsor for this already. And I will get a dollar. You can tell me 100 of them. A Hashkocha Pratis story that happened, now Rabbi Kalish gets the first dollar, by the way, that Maisa in the hospital with the Gemara Shavas, whoever was here before, he deserves a dollar. And I'll take the second dollar for the Hashkocha Pratis of last night, as I thought about it this morning. What would be if we were sitting around the dining room table at the Oinig with 30 guys when this thing shattered? It doesn't say anywhere that this thing had to shatter in the middle of the night. This could have shattered as we're sitting at a Shabbos Suda with little kids and guests. You know, it was the scariest experience in my life, but it's an incredible Hashkocha Pratis that I wanted to bench Goimel on this morning, that it broke at a time when no one was in the dining room. Yes, it was very scary. But Baruch Hashem, that's Hashkocha Pratis that happened to me not too long ago. And I'm ready to hear from anyone. A Hashkocha Pratis story, and the point of this is that after this week, even when a person's not getting the dollar, but then you're training yourself to think the Yad Hashem. That same dollar, what dollar am I giving out? That same dollar that says on it, in God we trust. But it's clearer, in God we trust, it's true. But we don't live with that. So I'm going to give you a dollar that says on it, in God we trust, and you'll know yourself that you earned this dollar because you really believe it. In God we trust because we see that everything is a Maisa Hashem. It says also in God we trust with a nickel. Maybe we can try with a nickel. That's a chiddush for now. But okay, I think the dollar might work a little better. L'maisa, we have to take the words of the Avos and make it. It says Maisa Avos Simen Labanim. So a person has to take the words of Yaakov Avinu V'chiyeshli Koil to understand how did he get to V'chiyeshli Koil Kichanani Elikim, because he understood that everything comes from Hashem. If we come to that Hakara and we train ourselves to see the Yad Hashem in everything, we'll become Bali Madrega, and we're able to live our lives on a higher level. And with this, we'll be able to better fulfill our tachlis in this world.